It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated.
Archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, what's your call here? What do you think? What do you see?
Oh, I mean, Russell under center, you go with Gordon up the middle. You just trust it. They're going to win. I like him on the edge. I love giving him a chance with his feet to give him an option to run it or throw it. Can never go wrong with.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson, don't you roll him out? Yeah.
If you're here to, you're rolling the dice, you're here to win it. You don't want to just get.
There was a Super Bowl where a lot of people thought he should roll out.
Yeah.
You know what happened? 4th and 1. Surveys, good protection, slides, fires, broken up in the end zone. Gilmore on Sutton. So the defensive player of the year a couple of years back, and somehow, someway, the Indianapolis Colts, who took their first lead of the game on that field goal, pull out a 12-9 victory.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Friday, October 7th. That's an agenda-free Friday from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Waltham. We're brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. Usual drill here on Fridays. The agenda is set by your wonderful phone calls. We have Release the Hounds at 617-779-0985. You call us. We take the calls. Opening segment, if you're ready. While we're populating the call screener, we give opening takes. Maz and Murray alongside. Murray wants to start with that atrocity last night on Thursday Night Football. First of all, Maz, Murray, hi.
Good,
you? Peachy, thank you so much. Murray, your thoughts?
Yeah, so yesterday in the headlines, I kept previewing that game between Denver and Indy as this is the game for you if you hate offense. And not only did that piece of garbage game live up to those lowly expectations, it surpassed them in ways I didn't even think were possible.
Maz, I agree.
I saw you tweeting about it. It was a great night for Twitter. Like, as we were all kind of hating watching that thing together, 3+ hours, some of the worst quarterback play you'll ever see, ugly interceptions, constantly throwing short of the sticks on third down for both sides, no touchdowns, nonstop field goals, a random cornerback from Yale, of all things. I was like, of course there's a guy from Yale involved in this game with no scoring. Garbage. And I only kept it on, and this is the part for you, Mike, because with the stupid stream, there's no last button. You watch it or you don't. So I kept hate watching. There was nothing else on. I'm just screwing around with my guitar. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll watch this thing. Until it got awesome at the end. The end of it was hysterical. In all the most unintentional ways. The end of that game, and especially the overtime. How that ended. What I say about Nathaniel Hackett after the loss in Seattle. Fire this guy. Fire him after one game. He is a complete and utter moron. I know that there's nerds involved because of the way he's talked after the game, and you'll get to that part of it, Mike, and how the analytics are now starting to weasel their way into football. But this guy's a moron. I could not believe, after they took like 9 timeouts at the end there, you're going to kick it, right? You were just trying to draw them offside. He goes for it and washed Russell Wilson. I don't know what's going on with that guy. Misses a guy on a slant that's completely wide open. That guy loses his mind, slams his helmet. You got all kinds of trouble brewing there with Denver. But my bigger picture takeaway for just how, and it isn't just about how awful that product was last night and funny at the end. It really emphasizes how much Sunday is truly a must win for the Patriots. Because it turns out the conference blows. You get to 2-2, it ain't that bad. You're okay. You win Sunday, whether it's Zappy or 75% Mac Jones with the gimpy ankle. Like, you're still in this thing.
You say two and three.
2-3. That's what I meant.
Good.
You get to 2-3. You're still in this thing. You are anyway. I mean, you made the playoffs last year at 1-3, but you get to 2-3. You're kind of sitting pretty because you know the conference stinks. The Colts stink. Denver stinks. These middling teams, you can be there. It's not over yet. So you got to go out and do your job and win on Sunday against Detroit because you'll still be right in the thick of things.
I'll just follow up quickly. A couple reactions that got me. One, just you heard Michaels mention it there. Russell Wilson with just a yard to win a game. And he's chucking it into the end zone.
Over the middle.
Just so happened that Richard Sherman was on the postgame show for the Amazon Prime broadcast. He had PTSD. He had flashbacks. And his reaction was, I think, pretty predictable. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You need 1 yard. Run the ball. Run the ball. Hey, CT.
He's triggered.
All he has to do is run the football. Like, necessary criticism. I'm not, I've said enough criticism for him, but God dang, run the dang ball. Like, learn from your mistake.
Learn from your mistakes. He's triggered. One of the guys on the set said.
He went bananas.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
So, but make no mistake, that call was made by the nerds. And the Hackett guy is, oh my God, absolutely issues. I'm not telling you like he's qualified or anything, but he didn't make the call. And there was another giveaway in the postgame comment. Here's Denver coach. Is it Paul Hackett? What's his
Nathaniel
buddy?
Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett, whatever. Nathaniel Hackett. Buddy Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett postgame on the decision to go for the pass there on 4th-and-1.
On the game's final play, is this something you saw in the defense to kind of go for the end zone there, go on the 4th-and-1?
We wanted to win the game. We hadn't moved the ball very well the whole night, and I thought we had a spectacular drive to get all the way down there. It ended up being 4th-and-1 and got the go to go for it, and thought that was a good decision. Wanted to put the ball in Russell's hands and called a play that we know that he really likes, and it didn't work out.
We got the go to go for it. Like, there's a team up there giving the go-ahead or not, mission control.
Scary.
The back room of nerds gave him the go. So, once again, not that you want that guy making the call, I get it, but make no mistake, the head coach wasn't making the call again, just like Harbaugh mentioned earlier in the week. The nerds have taken over football. Maz, what's your opening thought?
Okay, so as we all know, there's been a slight development in the Ime Udoka story that yesterday the Daily Mail broke the identity of the woman, et cetera, not that, people care about that part of it. However, Sham Sharania of The Athletic went on with Pat McAfee yesterday and said, gave a timeline, basically, of how all this went down, okay? That the relationship between Udoka and this staffer started in the postseason. They then played through by the time Celtics ownership and management heard about it. It was the month of July. They then went to the parties and were told there's nothing going on. Okay. At that time, they said consensual relationship, no issues, fine. They let it go. The woman then went back to the Celtics and said that Udoka had made some unwanted comments to her before the relationship even began. Before the relationship even began.
Interesting, right?
So she said nothing all that time. And again, if the comments were unwanted, then why did she have the relationship with him? Right? Like, you follow me?
Yeah.
So now McAfee and both Sharania said that was the extent of it, that there's nothing more to the story.
No, that was the extent of the investigation.
The investigation.
They didn't investigate other women. They didn't investigate other incidents. They only investigated that relationship.
Okay.
And Sharania said, outside of that, I don't know. I'm just talking about what they found in that specific, and they didn't investigate anything else, apparently.
Okay.
With that law firm.
And I would say then you haven't gone far enough. In other words, if those comments were made to her before the relationship, but she didn't say anything to the team until after the relationship was over, well, then what happened at the end of the relationship? Something went sideways there. So otherwise, she wouldn't have gone back and talked about something from 3 months earlier to stick it to the coach. So clearly, it was either a bad breakup, there was something that happened as a result of the breakup, or there was one party that wanted to go on and the other one didn't, or what. But I don't believe for a second that the story ends there, is the way I should say it. Okay, that the Celtics stopped there and that was it. What made her go back and talk about something that happened before they even began their relationship?
Still some big gaps in the story. So we'll play that full Sharanya cut, or most of it anyway, coming up in a little bit. It's your calls on everything because it's an agenda-free Friday, and that's how we roll. All right, let's go right to the phones. George in New Hampshire. Go ahead, George.
Yeah.
George, hold on 1 second. I buried the lead. This is my fault. We're giving away Patriots tickets. Free Patriots tickets to Sunday's game against the Lions. And you know what that means?
Ticket weasel.
Do we have some form of ticket weasel or something?
We do. We're going to play a game because they're playing the Detroit Lions. So we'll do you want to introduce the game now?
Please.
Yeah. I hit the intro, Jimmy.
If you want to win tickets to see the Patriots play the Lions this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, then you need to catch the Detroit Lion.
Okay, so here's how it's going to work. Between now and we do the ticket giveaway at what, 3:35 around then?
Yep, 3:30. Yep, 3:35, yep.
Call or pretend to the contest line. You need to be able to catch the Detroit Lion. Now, you'll hear from an actual Detroit Lion. And what's he going to be lying about? You repeat what he was lying about. Caller 10, repeat the two lies. You'll hear from the Detroit Lion, and you'll win the tickets.
Repeat the two lies. You'll hear from the Detroit Lion, and you win the tickets.
Yep. You want to hear the first one?
Yep.
Hit it, Jimmy.
Which one, the B one or the E one?
Hey, you pick.
Roar. You know, the only lion that's faster than me, Barry Sanders. Him and I are friends, Yep, just last night, Barry Sanders and I were singing karaoke downtown. Roar.
So, they have to repeat the lie.
Yeah, so the Detroit Lion
is friends with Barry Sanders.
He was singing karaoke with Barry Sanders last night, yep.
The Lion was singing karaoke with Barry Sanders last
night. Roar.
Okay. Is that's one of the two lies?
That's one of the two lies.
Okay, one of the two lies. The Lion was singing karaoke with Barry Sanders last night.
Okay.
The second lie will come at some point between 9 and 3:30. Repeat the two lies at 3:30 and you win the tickets. Simple as that, right?
Right. Catch the Detroit Lion. Lion.
Don't call now. That's not how this is. You call at 3:30 with the two lies. Sorry, Georgia, New Hampshire. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, loyal listener here. Yes. You and Tony have been gushing about Russell Wilson all these years, how great of a quarterback he is. And I never got it. And now we got this Russell Wilson now playing for the Broncos. He looks like the worst quarterback in the league, and he's going to go down as one of the most overrated quarterbacks in NFL history, Mike.
Okay, so you know what? Let's do this. Quick break, back with more thoughts on Russell Wilson, that game last night, and your calls. Don't go ahead.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Felger.
I'm media scum.
And Maz.
The English is actually pretty good.
Felger and Maz.
This team is a mess.
98.5.
Seriously.
The Sports Hub.
See, we all hope that he gets healthy as quickly as possible. Here's Bailey Zappi, who all of America got to see this past week in Green Bay. Most of America had never heard his name before. But those of us who do the draft.
I know the Hilltoppers.
The Western Kentucky. This kid set like every passing record there is in college. Parenthetically, facially and otherwise, he looks exactly like Mac Jones. Maybe an almost a more athletic version of Mac Jones. So if one were to say, Graziano, and we're sorry that Brian Hoyer, of course, is in the concussion protocol, but that this might wind up being, getting to see what this young man can do might wind up actually being a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
It could be. And look, what you hear from Patriots people is the game wasn't too big for him at Lambeau Field the other night when he had to go in there and try and beat Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. That says a lot. I know they like him. I know he's a young player. They feel he's a long way to go. If he does get this start, as looks likely, against the Lions this week, I think the Patriots' ideal plan would be to not ask a ton of him. They really feel like they have something going right now with their running game, and I think they'll continue to lean on that. But they're not, based on what they saw last Sunday, they're not worried about him getting in the game and screwing it up, which is a big thing.
That's the ESPN crew on Zappy. How the Pats feel about him. So they're not afraid of Zappy. Feels like that's still where it's headed. Dan Graziano there on ESPN. So we'll keep you updated on that situation throughout the course of the day. Bill talked about it a little bit today. They were out of practice today, so updates are coming. Your thoughts are coming. It is an agenda-free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. They just want to get you the car you want with exceptional service, and that's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, Nissan, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. That previous caller on Russell Wilson, Maz, what do you want to say to him?
The guy who said he was overrated?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a chance that Russell Wilson might be cashed.
Does that mean he was overrated?
No, he was terrific when he was in his prime. Like, you know, so that part of it is like, you know.
So you wait for the guy to.
Exactly. Suck.
You know, kind of suck, or, you know, maybe he's too old, or maybe he just can't go into his 40s like these other guys, or whatever. He's hurt, or he lost it, or something. Sure. Yeah, that may totally have happened with Russell Wilson. But to now to go back and say he was overrated, you know, see, he's overrated, bitch. God, I hate that sort of, that just happens in football so much. You'll wait for the guy to, see, how do you like him now? I loved him when he was in his prime.
That's ridiculous to say. He was tier
winner.
One.
He was a winner, caller. He was a winner.
Totally.
Tier one in his prime. He was absolutely lethal. Now, that being said, Mads, you might be right. I think he might be cashed. I don't know what the hell's going on with this guy. He's like locking onto his receivers pre-snap. There was one, he had Jerry Jeudy wide open, kind of like, you know, going across the field to the left. He throws right. Like, there's certain things that he does, whether it's these like little magical scrambles he used to have in Seattle or some of the deep bombs he would connect on, you just don't see since he's been in Denver.
No, and he completed one long one down the field last night, at least that I saw. I didn't stay till the end of that game. I couldn't do it. And there were two guys in the same place. Did you see that play?
When he threw it to the two guys?
Yes.
And the two guys were wrestling for the ball as they went to the ground? Yeah.
Like, so again, now that offense is so screwed up, which, again, I will allow for as being a huge factor.
A factor. It's not the whole story.
Okay, but
he's not seeing the field.
He's not.
He doesn't see open guys. He doesn't go through his progressions. He feels like a totally different guy. Some of it's on the coach, but some of it's on him. There's something not right with him. And maybe he's done. Maybe he's done. But don't tell me, like, he sucked.
That's ridiculous.
Don't be dumb.
His career rating coming into this season was 101.8.
He's a good player and a winning player, and I thought he'd go there in Denver, make all the difference, but that, you know, clearly hasn't happened. All right, back to your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Brendan in Weymouth. Go ahead, Brendan.
Personally, I love how coaches in the league are going for it more often on fourth down and two-point conversions because it's really entertaining and it's ballsy. I mean, I would much rather watch a fourth down play at the end of the game with the game on the line versus, you know, suffering another half an hour through some of these overtime games like last night.
Okay, understood. You know, I would say analytics have totally deadened baseball. And I don't know, it's helped basketball a little bit because it's opened up the floor. But in football, at least their nerds make the game more entertaining. It's all these, you know, going for it makes it more entertaining. That's true. Unless it's your team and you're losing games because you're going for it on fourth and two from the goal line, you know, instead of kicking a three points to go up. So it's not so entertaining when you're losing, but as a neutral fan, I would say all these fourth down attempts do make it more interesting.
But, you know, does it make it more interesting or does it just give you the other side of it? In other words, the decision to go for it on fourth down has always been there. We've debated that. We still debate that. So just the fact that someone is now making it differently to me, like, you see what I mean? I don't know that it adds to
the entertainment. No, but the actual fourth down play is more entertaining than a kick.
Well, so that's true. Yeah, I guess that part is true. But I don't think there's a dramatic difference. I don't want the nerds infiltrating the game.
Same. I hate it, and I hope every single time that someone goes for it on fourth, like last night, you fail.
I mean, I
pray for the fail.
We got the go to go.
Oh, my God. So it's just, he's just telling us there's a team upstairs that give him the green light or not, like mission control. Yeah, a team of four or five nerds up there with the pocket protectors running the numbers, and okay, it's a go. And Lord knows they had how much time to run those numbers and the simulations, because Indy called timeout, then they called timeout. He lined up under center, then he came out in the shotgun. It's like plenty of time to run all the percentages, and you know it. You know that the probabilities came out. Well, the percentage of us picking up fourth and one is X percent. Versus not getting his Y percent versus kicking the three. And now what of our chances kicking the ball off to them with 2:28 left? That's Z percent. And they ran all the numbers. And finally, they gave him the go. And that's how a lot of these decisions are being made now.
Oh, I hate that.
Dave in the car. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey there. Just reports coming out. The Red Sox game is going to be starting at 6:45, which I think is awesome. And then, you know, add on the pitch clock. I just think it's going to be a phenomenal product next year for baseball. I just want to get your guys' takes on that. And Jimmy Stewart, give me some takes on Extreme Rules this weekend. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Is that true, 6:45 next year?
That's a rumor, yep.
Big improvement. And that's great. And if that clock works, yes. Nice.
Yeah, done by 9 o'clock.
9:30.
Yeah. 9:30.
Yeah, I mean, let's say they're not going to.
Program Mass Math on the clock.
They're not going to turn around and out of 2-hour games,
no,
but can we get
no,
to
that's right.
2:30, 2:40,
yeah,
something
right.
like that?
No, my guess is that they're looking for a 2:50 game, a 2:45 game, which means if you're starting at that time, you're looking at, you know.
2:30 should be the goal, but.
Whatever, that is 9:30.
But you walk before you can run. Yes. So that would be great if they could do that.
Absolutely, no question. I've always felt they should start the games earlier. Again, but people aren't working as late now anyway. Like, the whole clock has changed in part because of the pandemic, but there's been a shift there by about an hour. So you know what? Move it. Move the game earlier. Let's go.
Matt in New Bedford on the Bruins on an agenda-free Friday. Go, Matt.
So, Felger, I was just double-checking the Bruins roster, because I remember a little while ago you said that you liked their roster, and I kind of agree with you. However, I checked their cap space, and once everybody returns healthy, they're about $3 million over. And I don't like this roster when it's over the cap by $3 million. I mean, there's still so many freaking holes for teams to exploit. It's more than Alexis Texas. I mean, come on. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, and when I said I like the roster, I like it. I don't love it. I don't think it's a bad roster. It's like, don't go overboard. It's like, it's not a Stanley Cup roster, I don't think. And the cap thing, they can, you know what, are you that attached to Mike Riley? They all come back healthy, you lop off someone like Riley, I think you're there. I'm not worried about necessarily their cap. I do find their opening night lineup interesting. I went over it last night. You know, Nick Foligno was skating with Patrice Bergeron. Taylor Hall got hurt. They moved things around. Taylor Hall was with Bergeron and DeBrusque. And then it was, you know, Krejci, Pasternak, and Hall. Right? So Hall got hurt. So they moved Zaka down with Krejci and Pasternak. So it's all Czech guys. And they lit it up the other night in this preseason game. And they moved Nick Foligno up with Patrice Bergeron. Meanwhile, guys like Mark McLaughlin, who I don't give two poops about, but apparently had a really good camp. They sent him down. They would send Stadnica down, but he has to clear through waivers and they're afraid someone would claim him. So they're going to keep him up here, but doesn't look like he's going to crack the opening night roster. So it's like, Nick Foligno's getting time with Bergeron. This A.J. Greer is going to go in somewhere. Nosek is on the fourth line. It's like, you know, some of the thought was bringing Jim Montgomery in here was to work with the young guys. Yet McLaughlin, who outperformed some of these guys I just mentioned in camp, apparently, is getting sent down. And Stadnik is not, you know, going to get a uniform on opening night. It's like, well, so what are we doing?
I know. I don't like that part of it either.
So you know what they're doing is they're trying to win now. I mean, that's just, again, that's where they are. This is not a developmental year. This is not about bringing the kids along. This is about doing everything they can to win in Bergeron's last year. And I think their opening night lineup is going to show you that. You know, they have injuries. They got to keep their head above water to start. And they're going to do everything they can to win these games to start. And the development will have to come at another time.
Yeah, well, especially when they have the injuries they have on top of it. Right. So now, you know, add Hall to Marchand and McAvoy and Grizz, like you add it all up. The last thing they're going to do is probably carry young guys, more young guys than they wanted to.
Danny in Waltham on Russell Wilson. Hi, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible Thursday night game, but almost to the point where it was hilarious, especially, I mean, it was both the end of regulation and overtime. You had, like, multiple timeouts and Hackett literally questioning Wilson, like, hey, what do you think? What do you want to do? And there's no plan. But what made it worth watching that entire slogfest was the postgame headlined by Richard Sherman, who you could sense, like, he literally had PTSD from the Super Bowl of how it played out exactly the same. And it's like, how do you still go through the same progression or not progression, terrible play, terrible looks through the end zone, no vision. And it's just like ruining the entire game. The both defenses played great.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh yeah. And oh, by the way, who made the game winning play on defense?
Steph Gilmore.
Interesting. Huh? Interesting. That's an interesting one.
Hmm. Yeah. He's washed.
Huh? Interesting. Steph Gilmore.
He had two big plays at the end.
Also,
of the game.
Interception in the red zone, right?
Yep.
Interesting. Wow. Who would have thunk it? What was I going to say? Steph Gilmore. Oh, anyway, you know we do this all the time. Like, as people, we do it all the time. We rant about one thing, but we're really ranting about something else. But it's just we're...
Oh, yeah. No.
We're projecting. We're taking it out on this.
Correct.
But we're really talking about that.
Right. Something that scarred you from the past.
When Richard Sherman does this in the postgame about running the ball, do you think he's talking about last night or maybe another play that we all know about? Go ahead, Jimmy. Richard Sherman from last night, please.
You need 1 yard. Run the ball. Run the ball. Hey, CT.
He's triggered.
All he has to do is run the football. Like, necessary criticism. I'm not, you know, I've said enough criticism for him, but God dang, run the dang ball. Like, learn from your mistake.
Pretty obvious what was going on there. We're giving away Patriots tickets.
Struck a nerve.
Stay tuned for the Lion. You got to tell us what two lies the Lion has told at 3:30. First line is already in the books. First lie is already out there.
Why don't we hear it again?
You want to reset the lie?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's the first lie from the Lion or whatever you call it?
Roar. You know, the only lion that's faster than me, Barry Sanders. Him and I are friends. Uh-huh. Yep. Just last night, Barry Sanders and I were singing karaoke downtown. Roar. Roar.
Well, that's a Detroit Lion right there.
First lie, that the Lion roar was singing karaoke with Sanders last night. Stay tuned for the second lie and the ticket giveaway
roar
coming up. Here's an update, and then we're back with your phones.
Roar. Roar.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Felger. And of course he looks good.
And Mass.
Because Mac Jones is out there with some tight shirt and looks hot.
I never said he looked hot.
Felger and Mass.
He's got like that tapered torso thing.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Has Mac Jones improved?
Yeah, for sure. He's a lot closer than he was last Friday. We'll see how it goes.
That was Belichick from today. We have a report from practice, Murray, on what happened. I'm sorry, I didn't
Well, he was out there for the third straight day. It was Mac Jones, and then he was asked after practice, Belichick, and said, we'll see, as to who, you know, he's been asked and peppered who's going to be the starter this week, essentially. Is it going to be Mac Jones, or do you have Zappy fever? And he said, well, you know, we'll see. So you're not really getting an answer. But I do, he has, from some of the stuff I've seen and read today, Mac Jones, there's a little bit more mobility there. I'm not ruling him out.
Me neither.
Yeah, so I heard Zoe say on the midday show that he thought Jones was basically the same as he was yesterday. Okay, that he thinks there's been no real change there in terms of how he's moving around or what have you. All those guys seem to think he wasn't playing. So I don't know what game Bill's playing, or, you know, whether they'd consider, like we were talking yesterday about, maybe be a backup, which makes no sense. But whatever.
Backup makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, and again, Gilbert's been here too. Like, my guess is he's going to be inactive.
He's either starting or up on nine.
Yeah, and look, again, I can tell you that some of the, you know, the moles on Twitter, if that's what you want to call them. So I'm not, you know, I'm not quoting beat reporters per se, believe that, you know, Bill is going to be making a decision on whether or not Jones will be active on Sunday, whatever that means. But I have a hard time believing that one, too. I got to believe Bill already knows, you know, that he's not going to all of a sudden, just at the last second, Mac shows up and he's limping 5% less, go, oh, okay, you're starting. My guess is Bill's already made that decision and they're aiming for next week. That would be my guess. I'm just giving you my 2 cents.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Again, 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want them. Ryan in the North End, what do you got for us today on an agenda-free Friday?
Yeah, so a gender-free question here. With Brady about to break free from his Super G handcuffs, what do you all think will happen first? Tom Brady retires from the NFL or Bronny James playing alongside LeBron in the NBA?
Okay, how long does Bronny have?
I think he's a senior in high school.
Yeah, I have no idea. I hate making comparisons like that.
My only Tom Brady take is this. I do not believe him keep playing football is why they're getting divorced. I fully reject that. You love somebody, you're passionate about someone, and you can't live without them, presumably. Is they working or not working going to drive you away from that person?
No.
It's going to agitate you, or you're going to have to work through that thing. But if you have love and trust and that's your person, then whether he or she works or not, and whether you want he or she to work or not, you're going to figure that out because you still have love and trust and all of that.
Right.
You don't get divorced because of that.
No, it's, listen.
Who does? Like, no. The number of people that point that out and believe that, it's like you're passionately in love with someone, but you don't want them to work. But they work. Now you're not passionately in love with them, so you leave? No, you don't.
No, it's a symptom of a greater problem.
You wait for them to get home from work.
Of course, that's all it is. But that's,
God.
But that's what they want to feed to the public. And I say they, meaning I think Brady and Giselle probably want to. Brady's probably in on that.
Like, they absolutely are feeding that to the public, and the public's buying it.
No, it's garbage. Their relationship broke down because one of them lied to the other one or cheated on them. Or
they just really got sick of each other.
Yeah, well, but he, like, even that, you usually can manage that. Like, when you say get sick of. Like,
and he doesn't even work that much. Like, yeah. Never mind that piece. That, yeah.
No, that's not it. They have a fundamental problem in their relationship. He lies to her, he ignores her, the other way around.
It's all the other stuff, as Maz is talking about. It's that stuff. That's why you get divorced, not because the guy works or not,
exactly.
Or she works or not.
My wife wants me to work more.
For Pete's sake.
kids are going to college and she hates me.
Joe in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Joe.
What's up, fellas? Maz, those two bozo teams should automatically go to tier 5 after last night's joke of a game.
That's a good point.
I mean, both Denver and Indy look awful. And, like, I'm just thinking about the Pats. Like, even with the Raiders, how bad they look, too. Like, this is a golden opportunity to take advantage and be right back in the hunt with, like, you have Lions, Browns, Bears, Jets, Colts, and then Jets again. Like, they can absolutely still be in it. That's all I have to say, guys.
So,
no question they can be in it.
That was my biggest takeaway from last night.
Colts and Broncos, tier 5?
I think there's put it this way, one of them's going there. Okay, one of them's going there, and, well, or maybe tier 4. But I'll say this. I said this to you off the air a second ago. Like, and I would never say this. I don't think I ever have as outrageous and stupid the things that I've ever said in my life. Nathaniel Hackett? Has to go. He's got 4 games, 5 games in, whatever it is. He can't coach in the league. The guy's not equipped. Like, I feel like he's becoming unglued. I literally feel like we're watching the guy become unglued. They got to fire him.
You got a Frank Reich bias, too. You could say the same thing about him. That team blows, and he's in over his head, it feels like.
So, you want to fire Frank Reich, I'm right there with you. But at least he's 4 years in or whatever it is, Murray. I'm saying this guy's been there for 5 minutes. I've seen enough.
There isn't a faker narrative, too, surrounding these two teams. Well, they're really good defenses. Okay, they might be good defenses. Their offenses are wretched. Absolutely wretched. How many times last night on third down they keep throwing short of the sticks? Air one out. See if you get a PI flag. Something. You idiots.
I can't believe Matt Ryan won that game. I can't believe he won that game.
He got ragdolled like every other play.
And my favorite play of the night, and I don't remember which team was on offense, was that pass down by the end zone where the guy caught it, dropped it, and then kicked it. And kicked it into the... Do you remember that play?
No, I don't. Yeah. I wasn't watching that.
It looked like a rugby play. It was so bad. He dropped it, and before it hit the ground as he was running, it hit his foot like he kicked it.
It was Aussie rules football.
It was so bad. It was embarrassingly bad.
Long commercial.
I literally laughed out loud.
Long commercial-free segment. We'll get back into the Shams report on Udoka and Maz's thoughts on that. You'll hear the sound. And we'll give you the second lie.
Roar.
From the Lion, so you can win your tickets. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
I'm just sort of painting a picture.
Felger.
I love the guy.
Think they take him in the back room.
95.
The Sports Hub.
All right, Jennifer Friday. Mads' opening take was on a report from Sham Sharon. It was actually. Sham Sharania was on the radio or the podcast.
Pat McAfee.
I'm sorry. There was also a story in the Daily Mail either yesterday or the day before sort of detailing the gal that Udoka was having the affair with and all of this, a lot of which the internet had already been on, apparently. And I didn't find the story too revelatory. In fact, I thought, I was kind of disappointed. Usually those, and it was the Daily Mail, those British tabloids get the goods, man. And I thought they were short on the goods, frankly. I thought they only went halfway in that Daily Mail story. But anyway, then Sham Sharania was on with Pat McAfee to sort of detail some other stuff, and Maz wanted to comment on that. So you want to play the full piece of sound?
Yeah, sure. So look, the back and forth with them went on for like 5 or 6 minutes. We trimmed it a little. Feel free to stop it, Mike, anytime you want,
you
obviously.
Bet.
But this is Sham Sharania with Pat McAfee on their show.
I'm going to break it down, you know, what happened. I'll give you the timeline. Okay?
Here we go.
So this relationship, what I'm told, started during the playoffs. And it went into July. And at Summer League, the Celtics found out in July, and from what I'm told. And once the Celtics found out, what they were told at the time, that everything was good between the two sides, that, you know, it was a consensual relationship, and they – obviously moved forward with their offseason. You know, like, this wasn't a topic that anyone within the Celtics was, I think, worried about. It wasn't until a few weeks ago when the female employee informed the organization that she had unwanted comments made to her by Ime Udoka at some point earlier before this relationship, this intimate, improper relationship started.
Can we stop there for a second, Jimmy? So they continue here, which we'll pick up in a minute. But I initially heard this and went, what? Did I hear that right? That she complained after the relationship with Udoka, she complained that he had said something to her before the relationship even started.
Exactly.
Okay, so I just want to make that point
clear.
Yeah,
that's the one that doesn't make any sense.
Right? Okay, so good, Jimmy, pick it up.
The organization had to do another really round of investigation and interviews, and that's when they come down with the one-year suspension.
Okay, thank you for laying that entire... I mean, I got a timeline here. I wrote it down. Playoffs, sure. July, moved on. Then it says, female employee said she had unwanted comments said to her. Before the relationship happened, before the playoffs, this happened, and then they investigated it after finding out in July about the whole thing. They've moved on. All parties moved on. Then she said that she had unwanted comments said to her before the relationship even started. Is that right?
Yes. Huh. Now, Pat, I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to say, you know, to analyze that. Huh? That those were the facts of the investigation.
Got it.
They gave a one-year suspension. So
I understand. Hey, listen, in programs and organizations,
but you can, Pat, you can.
Yeah. Sounds like you're saying that.
Okay, so this is the part that, like, to me, what happened at the end then? Why did she feel compelled to tell them something that happened months earlier when she had decided to have the relationship with the guy anyway?
So you tell me.
Something went sideways here that we don't know about yet. And either it wasn't in that investigation, which is what Sham said, or the team's hiding it or whatever. But I eliminated this part of the back and forth, Mike, that they went on to have. This is like Pat McAfee at one point says, you know, I heard all the stuff that was out there. This doesn't sound that bad. I can't believe they'd suspend him for a year for this. And my answer is exactly. What's the next step? When the relationship ended, something must have happened that led her to say to the team, you know, by the way, before this thing even started, when he was hitting on me, this, this, and this happened. Okay, fine, but you still elected to have the relationship with him, so you clearly weren't that offended by it. So it had to be something that happened at the end. I don't think it was something that happened at the beginning. I mean, you tell me, am I nuts?
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't.
No, either it, you know, it ended badly. Her husband found out. She then said, cut the crap, and he didn't. And then he started harassing her. Or there was some repercussion of the relationship that we don't know about yet. I don't know.
But there's definitely holes there.
Oh, so this idea that that's all it is, too, because they were going back and forth about that a little. But to me, the news was, wait a minute, that doesn't add up.
Right.
That doesn't add up at all. So he said something to her before the relationship started that she didn't like. So she got together with him anyway? That makes no sense.
It doesn't add up.
Or,
yes, Jim.
Or there's more that we don't know that reporters aren't comfortable putting on the record because they can't viably prove it through lawyers or editors, stuff like that.
Yes.
And that's the piece of this puzzle that's missing.
There's more there. But this idea that, like,
I mean, Gary Washburn wrote a couple weeks ago that the findings from their investigation were ghastly. The word he used was ghastly. So, like, what Sharania was describing there is not ghastly. And what was in the Daily Mail story yesterday or the other day was not ghastly.
Agreed.
So we're still waiting on ghastly.
No, there's more to come. There's more to come.
You want to say anything, Jimmy, before I move on?
There's more to come, and it's a matter of if these reporters can get it past the lawyers and their editors and things like that. But there's more coming. We've all heard stuff that we can't say on the air, right, and we won't say on the air because it's not our jobs to, in this case.
No, we wait for a reporter to do it, and then we run with their story, and if it's wrong, that ain't our fault.
Yeah, it's not our problem.
First one through is the bloodiest.
Yeah, you just described the last 20 years of my life. I'm not putting my nose out there, but I'll repeat your story.
Absolutely.
No problem. Okay, back to your calls. Charlie in the car. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, so you guys, I was going to call and tell you about the Daily Mail, but you guys already saw that. But you can certainly say that his behaviors before the relationship reached the criteria of sexual harassment, period, regardless of whether they had a subsequent relationship really doesn't matter, because if the team corroborated her story, which was that,
you know, it started out like this. He came to me. He said this. He behaved this way. It might have been corroborated with some other employee who she may have spoken to. And that alone in itself is sexual harassment, regardless of whether or not she had a consensual relationship with him after that. So to me, you know, the fact that he actually did sexual harassment, I think, is enough to, you know, for...
Yeah, even though she entered into the relationship, but it does change it.
It totally does.
I mean, so if it's technically harassment, yeah, but then she carried on with a months-long relationship with him, so it's like, how bad was it really? And there's really... Don't tell me that that's an apples-to-apples thing. There's nuance to that.
Yeah, that's how I feel. There's just something that happened there at the end that led her back there.
Okay,
and again, maybe it's all documented. Maybe there were emails. I have no idea. But whatever it is, it wasn't it that simple. No way.
Once again, we're giving away Patriots tickets to Sunday's game against the Lions.
Yep. Roar.
Yes, I'm all like messed up now because Murray continues to mock me for my contest idea years ago with one cockamamie corny contest after the next. This one might have taken the cake, frankly.
No, this is... This one's special.
This is the ticket weasel's outdone himself today. So this is the Lion.
Yep, you got to catch the Detroit Lion.
Okay, we've already given you one lie. You want to give the second lie?
Yeah, Jimmy, hit it.
Roar. This one time, I was hanging with Eminem, and he had writer's block, and I helped him write Lose Yourself. That line about mom's spaghetti, that was mine. Roar.
That's a Detroit Lion right there if he's hanging with Eminem.
There's your second lie.
Spend some time on the 8 Mile.
Yep.
He wrote the spaghetti lyric for Eminem.
Yep.
Roar.
Mom's spaghetti.
Helped him write Lose Yourself.
Yep.
You better lose yourself in the moment.
Vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
That's right.
Maz is down with it.
Roar.
I like Eminem.
Those are your two lies. Repeat them at 3:30. If you're calling now, you're cheating and you're out. Don't call now. Call at 3:30. Repeat the two lies. Caller 10 to repeat the two lies at 3:35, really-ish. We'll win the tickets. All right? That's the deal. There's your lion. Is it Agenda-Free Friday? Back to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.